You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news, photos, videos, and more from the team by liking them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Joining us now on the hotline, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the one and only Jim Donovan. Jim, how are you today?
I am good. I finally have a phone that works.
Good.
I've gone back to the old standby, the old rotary dial.
Jim, do we have to have a discussion with KYC on this one to make sure they're taking care of you, buddy?
Unfortunately, I cannot blame this one, Vic.
Okay.
I don't know what's wrong with my phone, but I think I want to go back to the old Mayberry RFD days where you call up Millie and you pick up the phone, you say, "Hey, Millie, get me Nathan and Vic, will you?" And then she dials through.
Nice.
Little switchboard. You got to like that. So, Jim, one of the things we've been talking about today is DeSean Jackson, the fact that he's out there. Vic and I don't feel that he's necessarily a very good fit for the Browns, given the salary, given potentially the off-field implications or issues that come along with him. What's your take on DeSean Jackson?
Well, I'm with you guys. I don't think that the Browns can take, and it's the personality that kind of troubles me, because I think a couple of times I've noticed during his Philadelphia year, his years there, where if something's troubling him, whether it was a contract, whether it was a coaching decision, he took that out onto the field and he did not perform the way his team needed him to perform. Now, the off-the-field stuff is scary if all of that is true, but and the contract is big, and you guys are right about that. But I worry about a guy's attitude that when he does that, you know, he's going to consistently do that. And I have never seen him change that. So I think that he's been a temperamental player, at times a great player, and certainly at times a guy that can take a game and win a game. I mean, that famous game against the Giants that he pulled out and won.
Sure.
But there have been times where I have noticed that he has pouted his way right, and his team right out of a game, and himself right out of a game.
Jim, as we look at the discussion about quarterback, we just had Sal Palantonio on with us, covered a lot of things with him, but he was emphasizing, again, how many picks that this team has, how many assets it has. We know in the draft, we know the multiple areas they have to address. But are you getting any better sense in your mind of how you crystallize, possibly, how you see quarterback being addressed, especially with reports now that Derek Carr is someone the Browns are looking at with an individual workout today?
Well, I think, Vic, what I see is that I think that they believe – in just listening to them and kind of reading inside their comments and between the lines on their comments and what they're trying to say and what they're not trying to say, I think what I see is that I don't think that they feel that there is a guy that is the total eclipse, you know, that he's the guy out there. I think that they feel that there's a group of quarterbacks here and they're all pretty even. There might be Blake Bortles might be ahead of on some people's charts, and maybe Teddy Bridgewater is ahead on some people's charts, and maybe Johnny Manziel really, you know, gathered a lot of attention and positivity when he performed last week in his pro day. But I don't think that they feel that there's that number one guy that at number four they absolutely have to have. So I think there's a quarterback coming, and I think he's probably coming pretty early in the draft, but it could start at that number 26 pick, and it could even be in the second round.
So you're kind of the belief, which I am, that the team is probably not going to take a quarterback right now at number four.
It doesn't seem that way. I mean, it seems as though, as I've watched them now, you know, go through things and the way they've talked about Brian Hoyer and how they're comfortable with him. It's not a ringing endorsement, but it is a comfortable endorsement that they could go with him. I really do believe, Nathan, that they don't think that there's a quarterback. If say, one is gone, I get the impression that they don't think somebody's there, you know, at number four that they can go get and that they need to have at that point.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Jim, as we talk more about how this team is going about assessing quarterbacks, there's been so much said about not showing up at Johnny Manziel's workout, at least Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine not being there. They've been beat up quite a bit about this, not just locally, but even on a national scale. There are those who just scratch their head and say, why would you not go there? And what's the purpose? And what are you gaining, if you're gaining anything? And the only answer I've got is it keeps the subterfuge kind of going. It keeps the idea that this team is keeping all of us guessing. But as I don't know that you couldn't keep people guessing by showing up, right? I mean, when you got 30 some odd teams there with their head coaches or whatever who were there, only one of them is going to take the guy. And I don't know that that enhances it or takes away, but it does seem to me that it matters quite a bit, especially to Ray Farmer. The keeping them guessing thing is like a big deal. And I don't think it's just for our sake to mess with the media, so to speak. I think it's more about the rest of the NFL.
Well, yeah, I think, Vic, I don't see what it would have hurt for everybody to go down there unless they were, unless they had a lot going on those days and they thought it was really busy for them and they didn't want to go down. But they definitely have made a statement with that, and they've been consistent with it. But, you know, I think I would have gone, to be quite honest with you. I think it would have been interesting to watch it. You can watch it on TV, but it would have probably been interesting even to watch him a little bit more before the workout and after the workout. I have to tell you, where I learned a great deal about him was that night I watched him in the John Gruden quarterback camp after that on ESPN that evening of his pro workout. And I learned more in that than I did watching the entire workout, on the NFL Network that morning from College Station. But having said that, I mean, you know, I would have gone, but they didn't go, and they've decided for some reason that they're not going to do that. And if it's to keep everybody guessing, then let's hope it works out for them that they want to do that.
Jim, what was your biggest takeaway from the Gruden camp appearance?
Yeah, here was the thing I thought that Gruden really did very, very well with him, and it was about the durability factor. And he talked about, you know, how, hey, listen, we're going to draft you, and we want you to be on the field on Sunday. But you got hurt the Sunday before because you did some stupid thing running the ball. And he was alluding to when he took on the three tacklers against Auburn late in the game against Texas A&M, and he jammed that shoulder. And he said, now, you had bad games against LSU, and you had a bad game against Missouri, and I don't think you practiced much that week. And the kid agreed, I didn't practice that much. And he said, see, you're going to hurt me on Sundays when you can't practice during the week because you ran and took on three linebackers, you know, the week before that. And I took away that the kid kind of had that sink in his head that I'm doing, just didn't work and isn't going to work on Sunday. So I really thought that was the big takeaway.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And I think that's one of the things that Johnny Manziel knows. And I think it was one of the things that struck me that watching a guy like Johnny Manziel versus watching a guy like Teddy Bridgewater or an Aaron Murray even, that when those guys got in the open field, they never took hits. They got down, they got out of bounds. They never took hits. And you watch Johnny Manziel, and sometimes you think that he thinks he's the late, great Ironhead Hayward taking on, three defenders and thinking he's going to bowl them over, and that's not going to work. So I think that it's important that he gets that communicated. I thought the pro day, doesn't show any of that. It doesn't show the things that make him great. It also doesn't show the things that make you nervous about him. But I thought he did a good job throwing the football from the pocket, and he is very accurate on the deep ball.
Oh, incredibly.
You just wonder, though, sometimes if some of those throws that are so impressive in that situation work with defenders at the NFL level and also work when you don't have a 6'5 behemoth like Mike Evans going out there and high-pointing all those balls and making them come, become big plays.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that was a takeaway for me from the workout day was how good that guy is.
Mike, he's a stud.
He's a stud. I mean, he's a stud. You're absolutely right. You're right. I mean, he threw a beautiful deep ball, but I mean, none of the things that go on a Sunday were there, none of that. There was no pass rush. I mean, running around with a broom chasing him, that's not going to happen on Sundays. And the other part of it is, his ability to make plays out of plays that aren't originally there and make a big play out of it. That wasn't there at College Station. So he made all the throws. I thought he was very accurate. And I thought he looked good in that aspect, but I still think that, there's a part of him that the it factor of him didn't come out in the workout, because it couldn't, because it's that ad-libbing ability that he has that a lot of kids don't have. Now, you know, that ad-libbing ability can get him in trouble, too, and get him hurt.
Sure.
And in the NFL, it might be for longer periods of time than it was for at Texas A&M. And that's the question with him. And I thought Gruden really hammered that home to him in that quarterback camp.
Jim, the only other point I want to make before we let you go is just with regard to what you said about Manziel's, what we don't see in these workouts, Nathan said it too, that the lack of size or the relative lack of size and what that means, and we know it's been blown up by other, that's been refuted by other successes of not so large quarterbacks, that Drew Brees comes to mind, mm-hmm. but we're still talking about a guy who is smaller than what you would prefer at the position. And I go back to what Phil Simms told me once. He said, what you see, and Phil was not a short guy. Phil was pretty decent-sized quarterback,
right?
That more of that classic build for the pocket. He said, you see specks and you see slivers of colors of jerseys
when you're
looking through those passing lanes. And he said, and you're reacting to those, and when you throw the ball, you throw it with certainly a sense of confidence that it's going to be in the right place. And
Phil
did that enough times to help that Giants team win a Super Bowl. But he said, you really throw it, and there's a lot of hope behind it when the ball goes out. And I just don't see a guy like Manziel, a guy that's not tall enough necessarily, having those looks that he's going to get. And that's why he does move around. And it's just hard for me to see, for all that was a positive that came out of that last week and the deep ball success, I can't get my mind around him being consistent.
Well, you know, Vic, here's the thing about him, too, is that you know that wherever he goes, say he came here, let's just, you know, play a game here and say he was here. You know that people want to see the scrambling plays. They want to see him bust out of the pocket.
Sure.
The coaching staff doesn't. There's no question about it. That's going to be a major, major thing no matter where he goes. But let's, for our intents and purposes, let's say he's here. You really want him to get comfortable in the pocket and to stay in there for as long as he can before he would bail. But I think that because he is going to get that natural reaction from crowds the first time he comes into a preseason game, that they want to see the Johnny Manziel that they saw on Saturday afternoons running around, and he's going to hear that crowd roaring. He's going to become intoxicated with it, and he may even make a couple of plays. But I think what I hear you saying and what Phil Simms is saying, in the long term, he's going to have to learn to live in the pocket, which is something Colt McCoy had trouble with. But Drew Brees learned how to do it. You're right. And so I think that's, you know, going to be the part of the equation with him that it's probably going to be very hard for him to accept, because you're taking a huge chunk of what's made him what he is away from him if you tell him, we just want you to stay right in here.
Yeah. Jim, great. Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right. We will be back with three questions with three-time Super Bowl champion Gerard Cherry, right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.